Welcome to our podcast,
Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we will be discussing Choose Joy by Randall Standridge. Cheers to starting the conversation.
This piece is a grade 3 on the Texas PML. It is something you could program, I think, at just about any time of year, not Absolutely. Just for contest season. It's about 4 minutes in length. It's in the key of concert E flat, double clarinet, alto, trumpet, and trombone parts, and in typical Standridge fashion, a lot of percussion. You really, really, in order to cover all of the parts really well, need 8 bodies. I am currently weird playing this for a winter concert. I think because it quotes Ode to Joy. I thought it would be appropriate and fun to do at a winter concert. I only have 7 percussionists, so even one of my percussion teachers is sitting in and helping cover a part because I didn't want to leave anything out. So lots of percussion. This piece is super high energy.
Super high energy, like the entire piece.
Yeah,
like,
there is no downtime.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. There really is a calm middle section to it, but it is bookended with lots of energy.
Yes.
It's marked at 160 in 4/4, so the tempo is incredibly
fast.
Brisk. We have this idea at the very beginning. It opens with a 2-measure percussion kind of build, 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and then the winds come in on beat 4, and there is 4 and 1, 2 and 3, 4 and 1, 2 and 4, 1. So there is this technique that happens in the flute, oboe, alto saxophone, and first trumpet. Of course, it's doubled in some of the mallet instruments. It lays pretty easy in the fingers. So even though the speed is really fast on it and it's 16th notes, it's scalar.
Yeah.
And does lay relatively...
And that's the easiest scale on trumpet, that, obviously.
Right. So,
but that first trumpet part, you have got to put somebody who has
you
a
need
great
a hoss.
Range.
Yeah, you
yeah.
need a hoss. It sits
in...
It sits in a
time.
High tessitura the yeah. entire time.
Yeah.
So they need to be, they need to have the range and they need to have the clarity of articulation.
The second trumpet part is not the same. So
no.
definitely put people up there that can function.
That can handle it.
Yeah.
That's right. So when I have heard some groups play this, I think one of the things that stands out to me most to be like a danger Will Robinson is on this 16th note, 4e into 1, 2e into 3, do not clip the quarter note
short.
Oh, yeah. 4e into 1, 2e into 3, 4e into 1. That is going to be the kid's natural tendency. So making sure that we get air all the way through those quarter notes and through that, really that entire measure every time that happens. Lots of accent and style. There's accent and style in all of the accompaniment parts.
Yep.
In here, so making sure that we execute that really well. I love this. This whole introduction repeats a couple of times
yes.
through the piece, so that's kind of nice. Once you get it down, it's a nice copy paste. You have a forte piano.
Measure 5.
A whole note tied to a dotted half note where everybody needs to get out of the way and make room for the horn and saxophones.
Yep.
2 and 3 and 4 and 1, 2, 3. It's a really, really cool part. And again, like I said, it comes back several times.
And then the horn is going to end up sitting on a top line F for a little bit of time. So again, this one's a big horn feature.
Yes.
Type piece, and then this in particular is a big little feature moment.
When we transition into measure 11, it does get a little calmer right here. We've got some really cool vibraphone and bell and xylophone stuff going on. This is a flute melody, so the clarinets and tubas and some of the tenor reed people are just sustaining with like a harmonic foundation, and the flutes have a melody in a very nice, comfortable range for them. 4 and 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. Very easy, very calm, beautiful playing. The altos end up joining them with the same little idea. We add some horn interjections mm-hmm. in there as well, but this really pretty melody. Very little percussion in this section except for mallet percussion.
And the euphonium doubles that horn interjection mm-hmm. that she was talking about, and it goes up a little bit higher to like high E flat and high F. So your euphoniums need to be pretty good at being able to do that kind of stuff too, because they're sitting in the same range.
So back to percussion for just a second. We had that really high energetic opening, and I know we talked about some of the mallet instruments. The snare part, when it is big and full, is often really active. And of course, at that tempo, at 160 BPM, when you're playing that's not easy. And there's accents. You need to make sure that they can play that, and that they can play that with a pretty soft touch. Otherwise, that can get noisy. It can get really, really noisy.
For sure. And then at 19, we've got this really cool, like, big moment again with everybody kind of having a similar rhythm together. 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4. 1, and. And it's, again, it's written real high up for pretty much all the brass. The trumpets are at the top of the staff, trumpet 1. The horns are up on higher E flat. Trombone is above the staff.
The lowest low brass is a high B flat.
Yeah.
That's the lowest low brass. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's up there. Yep.
The range sits up there. So yep. This is kind of a full band moment where we're restating this 1, 2, and 4, 1, 2, and 4. When we get to measure, the whole ensemble is doing this together. When we get to measure 25, we have a dotted quarter double 16th. 1 and 3, and a lot of the upper voices have that first trumpet, the horn has it, your upper woodwinds, your altos, all have that rhythm. So being really precise and lining that rhythm up together, obviously when you learn it slower, I would do it tongued, and then add the slur, and right. Then speed it up so until their fingers are really comfortable with what that rhythm is.
Yep. At 27, the whole band is kind of coming down. We have a tied note, but now the two mallet parts get to really be featured. We add in sleigh bells, so percussion's kind of getting a little moment. And then there's a chimes little feature. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3.
It's a little
so that's pretty fun. And then it goes into a really pretty little flute solo.
Now, once the sleigh bells come in, they stay in for most of the piece, and they are straight eighth notes at 160 BPM.
Yeah.
So you are either going to need to, we have not gotten to this point in our preparation on this, but I know when I've played a piece similar, well, it was a standard piece, Brave Spirit, before that had the sleigh bells that were like that at a really fast pace. We had like a single rack sleigh bells that were flat, and we were able to mount it and have the student play it with mallets. So it kept the tempo really consistent and the jingle really consistent all the way
through.
That
is so smart.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of that.
So that may be something you consider doing, or at the very least, you may have to trade it out between players because that is physically taxing.
Yes. Kidding. And like that would slow down.
Yes.
Yeah. Playing it with mallets is way smart.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
When we get to 31, now we're in this new idea. So the mallet instruments, like Katie mentioned, are doing all of this 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 and 2 and 3. So there's this busyness there. And there is a flute solo. It starts off similarly to the beginning, 4 and 1, 2 and 3, 4 and 1 and 2 and 3, 4 and 1 and 2. It's just a nice little, it sounds like a little, like you're riding on a sleigh.
Yeah.
And really, really cute little melody. It passes off, the solo line passes off to the altos, and then there is accompaniment. There is support coming from the low reeds, but most of it really is in this flute clarinet. A clarinet comes in with a little small interjection solo as well.
And they join the sax and the flute part. Yeah.
But it really is like these three soloists and percussion.
Yep. And that's only for 8 measures, though. And then 39, now the trumpets are going to take over the melody. And they have something real similar. But now both trumpet parts are playing the same thing. But it's written down
the
in the staff.
The range is easier
finally.
Here.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then it's just 4, 1, and 2, and 3, and 4, and 1, and 2, and 3, 4, 1, and 2, and 3, and 4, and 1. So like the rhythms are not ridiculously difficult. It's just the execution
of the technique.
And every time
speed,
that
right?
they do the 16th notes, it's slurred.
Yes.
So that's good where you're not having to articulate at that speed, but it doesn't mean that everything is slurred. So you have to kind of make sure that you clean up all the stuff that isn't the slurred moments. Then the lows get this little like 3 and 4 and 1 leading into measure 43, which I just always think it's fun when lows get to do something cool. And then we have this part where everybody's tonguing together. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. 1 and 2. Yeah. So just lining that up is going to be like, I would put brackets around 43 and 44 and like do that probably on a loop just to make sure that it all lines up. Because then the melody part and the trumpet and the clarinet now is still one and two and three and four and a one and two and three.
So they're so moving, but the accompaniment is all on one note. Yep. It needs to be way underneath. Yep. And that's not easy to articulate that fast, that staccato, that soft.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All of that's those why factors.
This would definitely be a rep section. Then you've got the trumpets continuing on, da 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 da, and then horns, da 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 da, then trumpets higher, da 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 da,
all the way up to an A.
Yep, and then A G. Yeah, so it goes up pretty high for those trumpets, first trumpets. Then another little
percussion
feature for a measure, and then we're back to four and a one, two and a three.
The recap of the beginning. It's exactly like the beginning. So this is where it comes back for the first time. Now, this next section, this is one of my favorite sections. When we arrive at measure 59, it gets softer. It goes to a feeling in two. It feels almost like this, well, it says in two, like it's in cut time, mm-hmm. like we have totally stretched out the melody just a little bit. The percussion still stays active. So there are still eighth notes in the mallets. The sleigh bells are still going.
You got the little chimes moment again.
One, two, three, four. But then we get this really, I love this section. It is in the tenor voices. They are playing, one, two, three, four, one, two. I'm thinking in cut time, but it's one, three, one, three, one. It's really lovely, very pretty. They do have in
an
measure.
An octave jump from 67 to 68.
And we have spent a lot.
Six, seven.
Oh, God, Katie.
I had to do it. I'm sorry.
You guys, please don't judge. Just judge her, not me.
Just me, not Laura.
Hey. We really have spent a lot of time. I'm glad I haven't actually identified the measure to them, but we have spent a lot of time working that octave.
They know.
I assure you they do.
Yeah.
Because it is slurred and it needs to sound relaxed. This whole into
super
thing
is
very calm.
Yeah.
Very calm.
Yeah. And then it continues on. The bass line is just supporting it. Then after they've had the tenor voices have had their moment, now the upper woodwinds are going to come in and have the same little, like,
it's really,
it's
like
not
a
the
counter
same melody.
Melody.
It's a counter
yeah.
melody, but it's got to be featured this time around, but it's still smooth. It's slurred. It's in, like Laura mentioned, like it's the melody, but stretched out. And then the trumpet one comes in and kind of has its own little moment for two measures. And then at 79, we get this cool horn and alto part that is marked soaring. So it needs to be coming out of the mix. And now the tenor voices have gone down. Flute and oboe are just doing straight up eighth notes. Dee, 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 dee. Kind of like what the marimba part has been the whole time.
It is. It's doubling what's happening in the xylophone here. And it needs to be a whisper. It really is just the feeling of like kinetic energy underneath the other part, but you really don't want to hear it, mm-hmm. right? You want to feel the movement, but you don't really want to hear it. So it needs to be very, very controlled, very subtle, not overbearing in any way. What needs to come through is the alto and horn line, like Katie said, and
for
it's
sure.
really beautiful.
It
the
is really
the
pretty.
Trumpets still have this kind of melodic idea, but then this horn and alto have this cool counter melody that soars over. It's really, really pretty. Rhythmically, it's very easy. Mm-hmm. What is not easy is making it sound calm, mm-hmm. making it sound relaxed. And the range in the horn is up there. It gets up to E flats and Fs.
E flat, yeah.
At the top of the staff.
Yep.
But really, really pretty section.
Yep. And then this continues on for a while. But now, as Laura mentioned, the trumpets are kind of like playing a different part with the horns, and they just keep going higher and higher and higher. So they're just doing like 3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3, and they're going up to high A flat and possibly B flat. I don't know, it got cut off on this score, but I mean, it's going up really, really high, and then it kind of comes down. So your first trumpets, like she mentioned, have to be really solid, because we are 100 measures in, and that's when they're playing.
And that's where they're playing an A flat
the
above the staff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And then we reach like another moment, and now it says in four back to the energetic moment. So we're less like slurry. Now we're going back to like the feeling from before. with the transition, we've got a big percussion moment again, big chimes moment again.
Chimes are super important in this.
And then we go back to the da-da-da-da-dum, da-da-da-dum, 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 and the flutes. Yep. But now the upper brass and, well, the trumpet one, trombone one, and euphonium get to have the ode to joy melody.
And tenor sax. They actually, okay, yes. Yeah. So there's still this active stuff in the woodwinds and percussion. This is one of the parts I'm talking about the snare drummer needing to be able to like demonstrate great control.
Yeah.
Great control. It's marked piano, or it's marked forte, but it does not need to be forte. Get
right.
them down. Let that ode to joy melody and the tenor voices and first trumpet come out. And we've heard the 4-1, 2-3, 4-1.
So many times, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that we can keep those upper woodwinds yep. secondary.
Yep. And so they just have 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, and 3. Don't breathe. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then trombone 2 and trumpet on the second phrase add in. So it's like getting stronger just by sheer numbers. 1 and 3, 4. And now everybody in the band is playing articulated eighth notes at 160.
Okay.
1 and 2 and 3 and 4.
It's not everybody in the band.
Well,
it's
everybody
who's
playing.
That's
Sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the low voice. It's low brass and low reeds. My low brass and low reeds love this section. It is the section they practice more often than anything else.
Yep.
But the clarity of articulation, it is just them and xylophone. Xylophone is not playing the same thing. But
right.
what I have talked about is even though xylophone doesn't have the same part, the same melodic part, they are doing eighth notes like the wind players are, and to listen to the clarity of articulation in the xylophone and try to match that. So it's 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 1 and 2 and 3 and they are moving. They are moving. That slide is moving. Those fingers are moving, keeping everything nice and light. It's mezzo forte. It's not meant to sound heavy. It's not meant to sound loud. It's meant to sound clean.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the key, just making sure that it is really, really clean.
And then the trumpets add in, and they're playing not the melody, but they're just doing like
straight eighth notes
on one note. And you want to make sure that they're not the focal point, because you still want to be hearing the lower people that are being featured. And then there's a melody in the sax and horn part. 4-1, 4-1, 4-1.
It's a nice little counter idea to what you've been
yep.
hearing the low brass
yep.
do.
And so that's the part that needs to be brought out, and everybody else needs to be underneath. Then at 119, besides those voices, now everybody is entering, like flute and oboe and clarinet are now coming in and joining, and they are also on the eighth note part. So like Laura said, this is about being clean and precise, because there's a lot of people playing straight up, you know, staccato eighth notes together.
And some people are changing notes and some people
yes,
are staying on the
yes,
same note. So
yep,
like making sure that that's appropriate.
Yep, yep. And then the trumpets have a little moment of melody. Ta-da-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Then horn and clarinet. Then the trumpet. It's kind of like the beginning. And then trumpets are up nice and high on A, G. Then it goes back to the beginning again.
And
there's one little cue.
Yes,
yeah.
The adorable little ding.
Beat three, on the bells.
It's
cute.
So adorable.
Yep. Then it's literally like a recap from the beginning again. We still have another little horn and alto feature. We go back to a little flute moment. And
like
then
the flute
little,
solo, but yep, now it's the flute oboe and first clarinet playing.
Yep, and it's easier
yes.
rhythms and everything. And then the trumpets take over that melody. And then we're building everybody up again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. And the xylo and marimba and the flute, oboe, clarinet get a little moment of a cute little scale. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. 3, 4, 1, and dum, bum, bum. And then it goes to the flutes. Then it's everyone. Then it's the little flutes there. Yep. And then we get another little ode to joy-ish moment.
Yep, in the low brass and low and reeds.
Yep. And then this is like the end of the marching band like part.
Hand down.
This is really what I think of. It's like forte piano and the upper people. I mean, this literally mm-hmm. could be a marching show. So you've got the bum, 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 and then flute and trumpet. Digga-digga-da, digga-digga-da, digga-digga-da. They're getting the excitement going. Everybody else has 1, 3, 1, 3, and then
one
horn. Off.
Digga-digga-da.
It literally, and down.
Yeah.
It does sound like.
It could be a marching band.
Yeah, it could be a
show
cool marching band
yeah.
show. Yeah. So it's like the most high energy piece ever. Like, you definitely have to choose joy every day when you play this. Like,
it is super high energy. It definitely has some technical demands and huge some articulation
kid, demands. And huge kid magnet.
Yes, you know, obviously, kids will love it.
Because it's fun and the rhythms are not, you're not going to have to sit there and be like, when do you come in? The and, beat one, blah, 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 right? Like, the rhythms are a little bit more more easy. It's just, it's a long piece and
the range. And the range. I think the range is one of the more challenging aspects of the piece.
For sure.
But lots of fun. Your kids will
so
love it.
So fun, yes. Well, we hope you will consider programming Choose Joy in the future. And thank you for joining us on this episode of
Band BFFs.